All right, you can turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You guys are so weird. Shout out to Bear Cabin and Buffalo Cabin for letting me eat with them, and Fisher Cabin. And what cabin are you guys in? I don't know. I forgot. Fox Cabin. Fox. What's your Fox? Fox. What cabin are you guys in? Manitouish. And what is it? Chippewa? Chippewa, South. Brule. Brule Rules. St. Croix. You're in St. Croix. Oh, I thought you were saying St. I said St. Croix. St. Croix. Shout out to Hogan. Hogan, anybody at the Hogan? Oh, Hogan. Shout out to the Hogan over there. Hogan. He's busy right now. Flambeau. Okay. Shout out to the Hogan over there. Yeah, that's right. All two of us. Leonardo with two P's. That's pretty funny. Yeah, I had a pretty good day today. I got a chance to walk around. I played tetherball a lot. It was like 3-1, and I think I still almost won, didn't I? I think I was. Nathan, you don't think so? Okay. We played volleyball. Who played volleyball today? Yeah, that's right. That's right. It was a little. We won, actually. It was a little dodgy at first. I think the score was like, 25-3. And then because we had to go, I said next point wins. And so we got the next point. So technically we won. So, but soccer game, that was pretty epic. And nine square. No, Will, I don't give you any props because twice you double crossed me, twice today. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. It's all good. Yeah, no, you didn't. No. That's what you say. What up? Yeah, so this morning we talked about the fact that God is listening, and you could stay where you are in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm just going to kind of, God bless you, I'm just going to finish this thought a little bit here. So the story that we looked at this morning was, part of it was in 1 Kings 18, or 1 Kings 17, and then it was 1 Kings 18. Two stories where Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain, and then it didn't rain for how long was it? 3.5 years. Man, that's a long time. I mean, just think about it. It was my fault. I did it, okay? If it didn't rain for 3.5 years, there would be no swimming. I mean, our lake would be dried up here. I mean, everything would just be, there would be no greenery. It would be, everything would be dying, all the leaves and everything like that. So no horses, none of that kind of stuff. So having rain is kind of a good thing. It's a really good thing, actually. So in James chapter 5, it says this. You don't have to turn there, but I'm just kind of finishing this thought. It says, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And so then it goes on to say, talk about Elijah, the story that we looked at this morning. It says, Elijah, verse 17, was a human being even as we are. And I like how it says that because it's kind of reiterating the fact that Elijah is just like each and every single one of us. Elijah, I don't know if he played volleyball, but Elijah, he had to do homework, perhaps. Elijah woke up with bad breath in the morning. Elijah, had to go to the bathroom. Elijah, got mad at his parents because, Elijah got grounded for not taking out the trash, not remembering to take out the trash. Elijah was a person just like you and I are. Yet he prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain in the land for 3.5 years. And I like how it says he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it didn't rain on the land for 3.5 years. This word earnestly is a key word. It basically means that, I used to think that he just prayed like really hard one day, like, rain, go away, come again another day, rain, go away, come again another day. And that he did it one time and then it didn't rain. But what it actually means is that he prayed, he prayed every day for 3.5 years that God wouldn't let it rain today. So the first day, day one, God, hold back the rain today, just like your word says. Day two, God, hold back the rain today. Just like your word says. Day 300, God, hold back the rain today, just like your word says. Day 600, God, hold back the rain, and so on and so forth. And then all of a sudden, God calls him to pray for rain. And so what I was saying with that is the fact that God actually listens to our prayers. And I hope that encourages you, because it encourages me to pray. It encourages me to talk to the Lord. It encourages me to listen to him. Or it encourages me to like talk to him about the things that are going on in my life. Because I find that it seems like a lot of people are just, they're afraid to talk to God about stuff that's going on in their lives. Like, we're afraid that God's going to be mad at us, or we're afraid, I don't know what we're afraid of. Maybe we're afraid that God can't handle our problems. But, I mean, if you really think about it, that seems a little silly, right? I mean, God can handle our problems. God can handle, yeah, thanks, Miles. Yeah, God can handle the things that are wrong with us. God can handle our doubt. I think we talked about that a little bit a couple of days ago. God can handle all those kinds of things. He's not worried about, it's not like Jody would be like, you know, God, I'm just not really sure that you exist. And God's like, oh, what? You know, I mean, he can handle that stuff. And not only can he handle it, he knows how we feel, even before we say something. Matthew chapter 6, God knows what we need even before we ask. God knows exactly what we need even before we ask. Today I wanted to finish that thought and going back to 2 Corinthians, I wanted to explain the fact that God is here, all right? Like, God is here. I often think it's funny, I hear people say things like, God, would you be with us? Or, God, I just want to feel God, I want God to be here. And I understand that, because sometimes I want the same thing. But I wanted to help you understand the fact that God is here with us. If you start in Genesis, and you go through Revelation, and you make a list of all the ways in which God has interacted with his people, you come up with a pretty interesting conclusion. God is not hiding from anybody. In fact, if there's anything, I would say is God has been trying to get our attention from day one. I mean, if we could turn over to, no, we don't have to turn over there, I'll just turn over there. If you turn over to Genesis, the fact of the matter is that God is with Adam and Eve, and he walks with them in the cool of the day. So Jody, do you mind standing up? So we don't have to hold hands, but you know. So let's just walk. We're gonna take a walk. Is it okay? Yeah. So how are you doing today?
Good.
Was today a good day?
Uh-huh.
You seem a little nervous. Why are you nervous?
I'm not nervous.
You're not. Well, you seem a little nervous. Okay. We're just gonna go around here. So look at these nice people back here. How are you guys doing? You guys doing well back here? Yeah. Okay. Slapping fives. Okay. Shout out to who?
Chili dogs.
Okay. Shout out to diarrhea, more like it. Yeah, so we're just taking a walk. You know, you're doing well. TJ's being weird. So, no, I'm just kidding. No. Okay, he is. All right, cool. Really weird, actually. So do you like walking?
You know, yes,
you,
I love walking.
Do you have like one of those, you know, Fitbit things that counts your steps? And oh, nice. How many, what steps
it's
are?
It's actually dead.
Oh, it's, okay. Well, you don't know. Okay, you can have a seat back
today.
There. Yeah, so God, with Adam and Eve, he just walked around with them in the cool of the day. That, like, he wasn't not with them. He was with them from the beginning. That's what he wanted. That's what he desired to be. He desired to be with his people in the cool of the day. And unfortunately, what they did was they, by choosing to be disobedient, they made it possible for him to not be with them. But here's the cool part about that, is that even though human beings, even though you and I, we have made certain decisions that cause God to not allow God to not be able to be with us, he still is seeking to be with us. He's still seeking to interact with us. He's still seeking to have a relationship with us, to go on a walk with us, to talk with us, to listen to us, to hear our cries and all that kind of stuff, to hear our thoughts, to be with us. God is still interested in being with us. And in fact, he's here with us right now. So you got God in the beginning wanting to be with us. We did something that caused him to not be with us, but then he provided an opportunity for us to be with him again. He provided an opportunity for us to have a relationship with him again, and that's through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, I'm sure a lot of you have heard of who that is. Jesus Christ was a man who was what we call a deity. And what that basically means is that he's fully God, but he's also fully man. And God, and he also is called Jesus, or God's son. And God made a way, God wanted to have such a relationship with us so that he made a way for Jesus to die on the cross for us so that we could continue to have a relationship and continue to be in fellowship, be with the Father again, to be in fellowship with God. Like, so this is good news. But then Jesus, he dies on the cross, and then he rises from the dead, and then he leaves, but then God does something else that's really just as impressive. is that he puts his spirit in us. And actually, that's what we're picking up in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Starting in verse 14 here. So 2 Corinthians is a letter that Paul writes. Paul is an apostle. He's a bigwig in the church. And he writes this letter to these people called the Corinthians. And let's just say that the Corinthians are an interesting bunch of people. They do some very interesting things. And even though it's a church, they just do some interesting things. That's the best way that I could describe it without giving you a bunch of details. You could kind of read about it later. But so he's writing this letter as a response to things that they're doing. And he's telling them, you shouldn't be doing that. And so he talks about this. He says, "Don't be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever?" So this verse, by the way, I shudder to also oftentimes use this verse because people are like, "Well, that means that I can't be friends with Christians. That means that I can't this or I can't do that." What this is saying is that he uses the word yoked here. He's saying, don't align yourself. Don't believe what they believe. Don't go in the same direction that they're going. Don't be influenced by them. Don't allow them to influence you in such a way that where you're being led astray, led where they're going. But you should. So he's saying, that's what he's saying. So he's talking about actually. I used to think it was like a yolk, like an egg yolk, but it's actually like an ox yolk. All right. So have you ever seen an ox yolk before? Yeah. So if you have two oxen, they're like connected to each other by the neck. So they just both go the same way. And so what he's saying is there, don't be connected in such a way that you're led astray by people who don't believe the same thing that you believe. That doesn't mean that you can't be friends with them. It means that you shouldn't be influenced by them. That's what he says. So he says, "Don't be yoked together with unbelievers, for what does righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness?" And the reason why he was saying that to the Corinthians is because they thought that they could live a Christian life in a sense, but then they could still kind of do the things that they used to do. They thought that they could go to church on Sunday, and then, you know, when they're out of church, they could just do all kinds of stuff. I'm just trying to not do all kinds of stuff. Let's just put it at that. So what harmony is there between Christ and Belial, or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? And here's where we get here. "For we are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you." So this is God telling his people. He's saying, you're my people. I purchased you. I want to be with you. I long to be with you. In fact, he says, I will live with them. I walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And this is exactly what God wanted from the beginning. He wanted to have a people of his own possession. He wanted to have a people that he could bless so that they could be a blessing to other people, so those people could be his people, but he wanted to be with his people. And unfortunately, we just kind of messed that up. And isn't that exactly what sin is all about? Isn't that exactly what our temptations and our struggles are all about? It's this desire in each and every single one of us to do things that God doesn't want us to do. And so rather than being yoked together with God and following his direction, we get yoked together with other things and go that direction. And that's exactly what sin is. It's doing things that God does not want us to do, doing things that we want to do rather than doing what God wants us to do. But God is here with each and every single one of us. In fact, he puts his spirit, which is what this was just talking about. He puts his spirit in us so that we are now his temple. And I love this idea of a temple. And if you remember in the Old Testament, there was this temple, and that was actually where the Ark of the Covenant that we looked at the other day, that's exactly where it was. It was this, so there was this temple that God dwelled in. And how it worked was that you couldn't, unless you were a priest, you couldn't go in there. But the fact of the matter is that God still came down because he wanted to be with his people. He wanted to interact with his people. So God would come down and whether it was Moses or it was Moses would go inside the tent and he would just meet with God. Wouldn't that be awesome? Like you just put it on your calendar. What time you want me to meet with you? Where do you want to meet at? Oh, I'll be in the temple at 2 o'clock. Okay, well, let me check my calendar. Yep, 2 o'clock. Well, it looks like I'm free. All right, cool. I'll see you there. All right, good. Well, wouldn't that be awesome if you could just do that? But the fact of the matter is that God lives on the inside of each and every single one of us. He's here right now. Whether you feel him or not, whether you sense him or not, whether you know he's here or not, God is here with each and every single one of us. So we don't have to go to church to talk to him. We don't have to come to Fort Wilderness to talk to him, although it's nice to go to at least Fort Wilderness. I mean, it's nice to go to church too, right? Right? Maybe? Okay, maybe not. All right, so, but the fact of the matter is God is here with each and every single one of us, and so you don't have to go anywhere to talk. You could talk to God right now. Right now. Right here. God is seeking you, God is looking for you, and God wants to talk to each and every single one of us because God is here with us. What I like about that is that it helps me to realize and to think, like, I need to be more aware of God's presence, not just when I'm thinking about doing something that I shouldn't be doing, but also when I'm not sure if he's here. Like, when I walk around at camp and I'm walking all around by myself, I just talk to God. I really do. I remember I was in the car with one of my former students. We were going to have coffee, and he was just talking to me about how he wasn't sure God existed, and I said to him, his name is Matthew, and I said, well, Matthew, I mean, if God is always here with us. God is here with us right now. In fact, if you weren't sitting in the car, I'd be talking to God right now. I mean, maybe it looks like I'm talking to myself, but I don't care. I mean, I talk to God all the time. I'm just walking around, and Lord, you know, what do you want to say to these people tonight, God? What about this person right here? You know, why are they, you know, sitting off by themselves? Or why is this person really excited right now? You know, why do they drink so much coffee? Or, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? Or, you know, why didn't I score that goal? Or, God, I really like this girl, but, you know, I don't think she likes me. You know, what do I do about that? Or, God, for some of you, God, I really like this guy, and I'm really obsessed with him. Help me to not be. Or, God, I'm really stressed with my homework right now. Or, God, I want to score a goal in soccer. Or, God, I don't understand this passage. Or, God, my parents are fighting. Or, God, I don't know what to do with my life. God has an answer for every single one of those things. And just like we said this morning, God is listening to us. The challenge for each and every single one of us is to be aware of that and to talk to him like he is with us. I'd like you to turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15 starts this way. I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. I didn't pick this verse because it has my last name in it. That's not why I picked this verse. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. We're going to actually skip down to verse 5. I am the vine. Again, this is Jesus talking. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This word remain is pretty simple. It just means relate. It means relationship. If you relate to me, if you talk to me, then I will relate to you. I will talk to you. Just like we just read, God, he just wants to be with each and every single one of us. That's why he's made provision for that. That's why he's put his spirit in us. So here's the challenge for each and every single one of us. Remain in him. Talk to him. Converse with him. Listen to him. Speak with him. Pray to him. Long for more of him and draw closer to him. That's what the Lord wants from each and every single one of us. That's what the Lord is offering to each and every single one of us. And that's what the Lord wants each and every, that's what he wants from each and every single one of us. My prayer for each and every single one of you, and as I was asking, I just typed actually an email this earlier today to this prayer team that's been praying for us all this week, is that each and every single one of us would just long for more of him. There's this this verse in, I can't think of it right now, Psalm 84, where the sons of Korah say, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord God Almighty. My soul longs and my soul faints for you." It goes on to say, "I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wicked people. Blessed are those whose strength is in you and whose heart is set on pilgrimage to where you are," essentially. Do you long for God? Do you long for more of him? Does your soul long for him? Do you faint for him? Because just as we just sang up there, God loves us and he longs for us. He faints for us. He thinks about each and every single one of us. Lord, I just pray for each and every single one of us here. We've been talking a lot about you, and I just pray once again, Lord, that each and every single one of us, that we would consider you. I do pray that we would have more fun this week, these next couple of days. I do pray that I do pray for good fellowship, more good food, and all that kind of stuff. But I do pray even more than all of that we would long for more of you, that we would thirst for more of you, that we would remain in you, that we would talk to you, because you are here with us. You hear us. You listen to us. Thank you for being with us, and we praise you in your son's name. Amen.